Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From the new home of At the Races, Gulfstream Park. Another, well, not a whole week because we're moving to Tampa for Wednesday, but back at Gulfstream. Good morning, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and our website, stevebick.com. A really fun weekend of racing, really coast to coast, and that includes the coast to coast pick five, which we're going to talk about, but we've got, just like the other day when Pete Rotundo kind of wandered in, one of the reasons you're in the Horseman's Lounge is because horsemen wander in. Jason Blewett, good morning, and perfect timing.
Yeah, I was not expecting. I'd be lying if I said, you know what, let me hit the men's room before I drive back home to Fort Lauderdale, that you'd be sitting in here getting set up to do your radio show, Steve. But, hey, it's good seeing you, and it's good being on the air. And, yeah, made a quick trip down. My wife and I live about 20 miles north of Gulfstream, but wanted to pop down. Check out First Captain. Obviously, I work for West Point Thoroughbreds. I hope he is our big horse this year, coming back as a five-year-old. So wanted to say hi to him, Shug, and see some of the other horses. Check in with Dale Romans, make sure everything's good in Dale Land. And, yeah, it was getting on my way, but here we are. Here we are. I don't mind this little pit stop and detour, my friend.
Well, it really kind of a fun opportunity to check in. And you're wearing the Breeders' Cup Flightline jacket.
You know it.
And really, the whole trip down here, these 2 weeks, it was kind of a dual purpose, multiple purpose trip, because the Eclipse Awards and Pegasus had not been to a Pegasus. And then I, you know, Holy Bowl. And I said, well, I'm not going to be able to go to Tampa Bay Derby, so let's go to Sam Davis next week. So it's all come together, and kind of on the back end, because we expect to talk to Todd Pletcher, and I do want to do some Eclipse kind of, you know, congratulations,
sure,
conversations as they come up. And the same thing is true, certainly, the Flightline celebration, you know, week ago Thursday, was really very special. And you were talking before we went on the air about the experience and how, you know, different it's been overall for you moving from the pundit, you know, the punditry side and the on-air talent side of paddock shows and mm-hmm. so forth between Naira and here. This experience certainly seems to be suiting you. Whenever I run into you, you're having a ball, and it seems like it's been a pretty exciting transition.
Yeah, it really has been great, Steve. I'm closing in, and I mean, time does fly. My 2 year anniversary already with West Point is, I guess, about a week away, and the bonus. And it wasn't, as I was telling you before we came on the air this morning, like when Terry Finley first approached me late in 2020 about, again, switching jobs and coming to work for him and Debbie Finley over at West Point and becoming a sales rep and giving up the on-air stuff, it wasn't like a hard yes. It was a few weeks of my wife and I talking about it. Mike Rapoli was a great sounding board for me. Do you want to give up a job you really love, you're good at, you're happy, you're well compensated, et cetera, to, yeah, same industry, but, you know, what if I don't like it? What if I'm not good at it? What if I can't sell any horses? But, I mean, 2 years into this, it's my honest take is, like, any expectations I could have had, the job has exceeded it times a thousand. It's been great. And then, like, the bonus to just working with Terry and Debbie and the team and then fanning out to all the great partners of West Point and the horses we have. I mean, the bonus to all of it was starting full time about 8 or 9 weeks before a horse named Flightline was debuting as a first time starter on a quiet sort of run of the mill Saturday at Santa Anita, and got to go on that whole ride, which was, it's hard to articulate just how special a ride it was with Flightline. And just, it sounds corny, like every time I put this jacket on, this Breeders' Cup Flightline jacket on, there's just like a real sense of pride and just honor to have been around a horse like that and to have had one in the stable that was as great as he was.
Explain that difference, because, you know, just having the experience of being an on-air personality, essentially, and enjoying the races that way and being on track and mm-hmm. you know, on a virtually daily basis,
sure.
Saratoga in the summers, then down here in the winters and you know, the prime quality of racing. But explain the emotional ties to, you know, being in a, you know, in an ownership capacity, mm-hmm. and what the difference is, you know, not that you're rooting against other, you know, others, but, you know, when you're observing as a handicapper, as a turf writer, as a broadcaster, you know, you're sort of taking it all in. Mm-hmm. You don't, you know, there's times when rooting interest, I mean, you've been pals with Mike Rapoli forever, and so rooting for Rapoli horses comes
sure.
naturally,
mm-hmm.
but when you're this tied in and you've had an emotional connection to horses and to clients
yes.
that have come in, you know, partners that have come in
mm-hmm.
and that you've convinced them to come in on a horse. And so now you're rooting in a different way.
Yeah, that is very well said and articulated on your part, Steve, because I truly feel every time we've got a horse racing that I have gotten a partner, whether they've been a longtime partner or a brand new partner in on, that I have talked up, and rightfully so, and been honest about naturally, but I feel pressure every time we lead one over to the paddock. I mean, you want that horse to naturally do well, and along those lines, having been around, and I mean, the game could do a whole week of shows, just how great the game has been to me. And just as I get older, you start to really look back and appreciate the opportunity that I've had personally. I've always had you need opportunity in life. And I've always had, whether it was at Naira or, you know, at Gulfstream with the Stronach Group or now at West Point, always had people willing to give me a chance to show what I could do. But I don't think, even having been in the game for so long, and, you know, horses get hurt, you're a fan, you're looking forward to this horse, he's sidelined, or Mike had a horse, for instance, that was pointing to a race at Saratoga and then had an issue and you're disappointed. But I don't think I truly grasp just how tough and brutal a game this could be when you're on this side and they're your horses.
Yep.
And, you know, the roller coaster, the ebb and flow. And I mean, there's a lot more disappointment, as we know, in this
exactly.
game than there is of
exactly.
euphoria and joy. So I don't think I really grasp the kind of body blows that, and thick skin and tough skin you need to have to be in this game, and certainly on the partnership side and the ownership side. That was one thing I kind of knew, but until you're in it, and you're in the trenches, I don't think you can fully appreciate. And that's, again, you know, looking back to Flightline or a first captain, or you win a big race, it makes it all that much more special because, I mean, there's just natural landmines everywhere in this game. I mean, that's just the reality.
Is there, and this is sort of a collective question as opposed to just specific to you, but is there a collective let down a little bit here in the wake of the Flightline experience? And I know there's people that are horrified that you know, he only ran when he could,
mm-hmm.
and when he did, you would think that those decisions could be respected by, you know, the fan base and stakeholders and everyone that, you know, observing him, that John Sadler did what he was able to do on the timing he was able to do it. I've already sounded off about that over the last, you know, whatever little while.
I'm sure a long time, but no, I mean, John and his team, again, not to get off in the weeds. Could you imagine the pressure you would have felt like every second of every day trying to campaign and manage this horse
exactly.
that is, you know, a one-of-a-kind Picasso times a million?
Exactly. And you know, and I can recall actually the Monday after Breeders' Cup, you know, asking John Sadler, you know, has he exhaled? Because it literally is a breath-holding. I mean, you talk about, you know, hands-on and being, you know, being involved. Virtually every morning when you've got a horse, not just this horse, but any horse, you know, that you've got aspirations for, and then they start to prove out their quality, the groom gets there first, and virtually every morning unwrapping bandages and mm-hmm. you know, the way they were put away for the night. I mean, everyone, you hold your breath every single day, every time they are let out, every day that they work, every you're cooling out. I mean, the breath, the holding of the breath, and the anxiety associated. Until you're tied on in that way, mm-hmm. you cannot. You just can't even explain the intensity of it. So now, in the wake of the Horse of the Year and the Breeders' Cup performance, is there a little bit of a hole in everybody's heart, essentially?
Yeah, no, I mean, being honest, how could there not be, you know, when we do our like internal West Point team stable updates, we do them every Thursday. The team, we go over every single horse in the entire stable, and it's a lot of horses and a lot of promising horses and 2-year-olds now, so a lot to daydream and look forward to, which I do every day. But yeah, I mean, when you get to Sadler's string out in California and you're running through our active horses, of course we miss having them. But you know, look, I mean, it was an amazing ride. Next chapter's begun. I hope he becomes as successful as Tappet and Stormcat and AP Indy and all these great stallions that in my lifetime as a fan and student of the game, I've been able to watch and enjoy their offspring. And I'm glad it happened, and that's it. It's on to the next, and that's hopefully winning another Kentucky Derby, winning an allowance race Friday at Tampa Bay Downs with the filly we'll talk about in a little bit. And, I mean, one of the reasons I stopped down here this morning was to check in and say hi to First Captain, who just got in less than a week ago. He needed a little time off after his 4-year-old season, and he reached new heights in 2022. We did the right thing, and now he's a 5-year-old. That older handicap division, as many of you know, was pretty much decimated with horses that just were retired and went to the breeding shed. So, you know, not that he needs any help, because I still think there's very much a First Captain, another level or two we have not seen yet. But with him coming back fresh and healthy as a 5-year-old, I don't know if there's a day that goes by that I don't think about, like, you know, going to Saratoga Racecourse on Whitney morning and walking through the admission gate with, you know, knock on wood, with him in the Whitney handicap later in the afternoon.
Well, you know, when it comes to that, you know, where the train is pulling out of the station, you mentioned First Captain, and Shug was with us the other day. It just so happens that he came back and won another pair of stakes, and the listenership, I think, went to town pretty good between Surprising Lee's win at Tampa, mm-hmm. and then here, of course, as well.
General Jim in the Swale.
General Jim was really good, and it's funny, I was giving Louis Saez the business, because the runner-up, the Cinco, Super Cinco, is a horse that tends to get out. And I said, you know, you went around. Why did you? He said, oh, I was loaded. I was loaded. I had plenty horse. So the nice job by Shug. And there was also the maiden winner. He came on and then went on with it in a big way. And for you guys, Jace's Road, right, last week in the Southwest.
Yeah, yeah.
You got a filly. You're talking about going to Tampa. I'm going to be there Friday, so we'll probably see you. I got to leave actually right after the show, though. But Friday, what's coming up there?
Yeah, up at Tampa, or I guess out west and a little north of Tampa, we've got a City of Light filly who who I loved. I mean, a lot of people loved her when we bought her, when West Point partnered up and purchased her as a yearling at the 2021 Keeneland September sales. I mean, she cost $500,000. She's trained by Christophe Clément. Her name's Lytris, and it's kind of a funny story because we've all loved her and figured she was probably a later developing type. It seems like as a whole, most of the City of Lights seem to be a little later developing, much like he was. I mean, he didn't hit his stride for Mike McCarthy until later in his career, but when he did, I mean, he was a jaw-dropping talent. So Lytris will be running for the second time in her career this Friday in an A other than on the turf for Christophe Clément. And as much as the team all liked her, we kind of, from a mental standpoint, all were under the impression she was going to need a race to get going. And, you know, long story short, and I know a lot of people out there, you know, maybe not with this horse in particular, but can, you know, commiserate with this story. None of us had a penny to win on her, and she paid almost $25 first out in a race at Tampa. I mean, got a good figure and ran like a seasoned pro. So I'm super pumped to see her in action on Friday.
Lytris in the sixth with Sammy Camacho, and you know, I just actually went to the West Point website, which is westpointtb.com, and you got the entries. And you know, one thing that should be noted is, especially in light of, and I'll get to the race result kind of recap probably in the second half hour this morning. Rusty Arnold's going to join us in a couple of minutes.
That's some filly he's got,
this
by
is
the way.
Some
nice.
Terrific filly, mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about Red Carpet Ready. And it's a funny story with her because she there was never going to be an intention to put her on the dirt.
I love it.
She's by Oscar Performance out of a turf mare, mm-hmm. And it just so happened that, you know, here it goes. So kind of a fun story, and Rusty was very funny on as it happens on Billy Badgett just sent me a funny text.
Is he listening to the show right now?
No, I've been trying to get him all week, and I know he's got his hands full with the situation up in Palmettos and so forth, but I've been trying to get Billy. I want to get him before I leave for
you
Tampa.
You got to get him on.
But the Rusty, you know, I started to go wish him luck, and he said, "I never win here." He said, "I can't win here." And then she proceeds to turn
obliterate
in a great
field.
Performance.
Yeah, yep.
And I said, "I thought you couldn't win here." As he was heading down to the winner's circle. So we'll talk to Rusty. But what I was leading to is the distribution of the talent of the horses.
Yeah,
and obviously we'll get to the result in the Bob Lewis with the four Bafferts and has caused, you know, great consternation. It is notable what a nice, you know, array and like, for instance, upcoming entries, horses with Tom Morley, Christophe Clément, John Sadler, Andy Mathis, and Dallas Stewart.
Yeah.
This week.
Yep. Yeah, we spread it around. Look, we've got partners, and this was something I don't think I fully would have grasped or appreciated before I started working for West Point. I mean, partners all over the country, and just like anything else in life, you have people that have different areas of interest that they follow or where they live in terms of just logistics. They want, you know, I live in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I want a Kentucky-based horse,
sure.
With Dallas, Dale, Cherie. So, yeah, I mean, we've got all different flavors, horses for all different budgets. Really is a wonderful, wonderful company. And I'll tell you, Steve, I was talking about this on Saturday with a couple of fans in the grandstand here who were asking me about West Point because they saw my Flightline jacket. And I said, even from, like, the old Naira days, being in the paddock years ago at Saratoga when the old, like, little TV gazebo was there, you know, you could always see even from 10, 20 yards away, it always looked like when West Point had a horse in, it was a very close group of partners. And that, you know, again, when I kind of did my checklist or, you know, the pros and cons of leaving the TV booth to go this route, that was one area that appealed to me and has not disappointed whatsoever. It sounds a little contrived, but it really is. it's a nice, close group, close-knit group of people. And, you know, it's neat. We all come from different backgrounds, different areas of the country, but that one commonality and thread that runs between all of us is a love of the game and a love of the thoroughbred, which, again, not to sound a little corny, but it's a beautiful thing. It really is.
Well, and just looking the past week, Fairgrounds, Gulfstream, Oaklawn, Santa Anita, Tampa, Sam Houston, Aqueduct. Of course, you had the cancellation over the weekend, but, you know, virtually every circuit, big or small, in every region, and at all levels, too. I mean, you know, they got maiden special winners. Oh, that Cagliostro. I forgot that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a Florida bred upstart. Don't know what he beat, but I mean, he was handily a handy winner, as they would say, in that return race at Fairgrounds for Cherie. Got high hopes for him, and he is, I mean, a beautiful, drop dead gorgeous horse. A lot of raw talent with him, and yeah, we'll see. I don't, you know. You have aspirations naturally this time of year. You have a nice three-year-old. You know, you're immediately thinking
exactly.
Kentucky Derby. I'll be curious to see what happens at his next start, because the competition, I mean, the water's going to get a lot deeper off the field that he buried a few weeks ago at Fairgrounds. But he seems like a very promising colt for sure. And Cherie's been doing a great job for us.
Well, and Cherie, in fact, yesterday, too, made...
Oh, that Tappet. I think a Tappet filly, right? Yeah, really expensive in the last race. Silver Stripes, I think her name was.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, kind of a modest-ish figure. Let's see, I think a 68 buyer, because I checked
Tapita,
this morning.
Though, it's first out going long.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
The race came. It's one of the weird things now you're going to have to adjust to, which is races coming off the turf here, moving to the Tapita, and, it's not a necessarily a referendum on what you've got long term,
no doubt.
But Cherie winning wherever she's, I mean, she got him up at Turfway, got him at Fairgrounds, and here.
She's also, not to interrupt, which I'm very good at doing at, obviously, she trains a gun runner filly that West Point is partnered, you know, a whole bunch of outfits own a piece of her, a filly named Vava.
Oh, sure.
Broke her maiden.
She loves Vava.
No doubt. Late November at Churchill, came back, brutal start, but really ran well. I think it was the Silver Bullet Day at Fairgrounds a month or so ago. She's going to run in the Rachel Alexandra, so, I think that's February 18th.
I'll
Not
be there.
Not this weekend, next weekend. Oh, beautiful.
Well, you coming out?
No. We'll have Jeff Lifson, my man. You're at Fairgrounds. Jeff's been with the company, like my
long
man
time.
Tom Bellhouse. Yeah. Both of them have been with Terry and Debbie a long time, working for West Point. But, yeah, Vava seems like an exciting prospect. So, yeah, we spread the love around, and, just looking forward to some big things happening in 2023.
Well, Jason Blewett, always a pleasure, and can always just, kind of riff on anything game-related, and delighted for, how much pleasure you're taking in this new enterprise. We've actually talked, I think, it's probably like the third time along the, checkpoints
yes.
along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, the first time was early on. I ran into you, and then once at, I think, Saratoga.
Yep.
As the second time. And so, it's the annual Jason Blewett temperature take on this new it's not so new anymore, but my man Joey, you got the OEY, as we call him.
Yeah, Joe's going to be a great addition
Joe
to
Bianca.
The team. Yeah, Joe, terrific writer and a great guy, and I told Joe point blank, we were at the Breeders' Cup together last November at Keeneland. Admittedly, Joe and I have been friendly. Twitter, he did a great feature, which I still appreciate. My first Pegasus working for the Strana Group, that would have been the Gunrunner Pegasus. My first,
yeah.
He did a for the TDN, which was a beautiful story and something, got a lot of positive feedback on. So, yeah, just his personality, passion, smarts, all that stuff is just going to be a great addition to the team, and really happy to have him in the family, because it really, from the partners on out, amazing. But the team that Terry and Debbie have assembled, it's, you know, I've worked with a lot of great people over the years, and not to slight anything, but I think on a, you know, 1-to-1-to-1 basis right down the line, this is the best group of people I've ever been involved with, you know, working professionally, where it's a team effort, and there's something very cool about that.
Jason Blewett with two T's. And the number 30, if you want to follow.
My lacrosse number. I was a goaltender. I was a goalie in lacrosse, played in high school and college. And for me, also being a hockey fan, the only goalie number, the right goalie number,
30.
Is 30. And 31 if you're sort of the backup.
29 occasionally.
Yeah. So there it is.
That's
where the 30 comes from. Yeah, for sure.
Where'd you play?
So I grew up in Floor Park.
Right.
I went to high school across the street from Belmont.
Sure.
And then I played for 2 years in college, small Division III school called Randolph-Macon in Ashland, Virginia. About, I don't know.
How did you land at Randolph-Macon?
Well, I was recruited there, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
Randolph-Macon.
Small school.
Sure.
Did 2 years down there and, you know, fraternity, all that stuff. And this is a whole other story, but after my sophomore year, moved back home to Long Island. I finished up at CW Post, Long Island University,
still,
and the timing couldn't have been better because I started at CW Post in September of 98. About a month before, that's when Steve Crist bought the Forum and took a whole bunch of people that were working for Naira at the time with him to the DRF, and whoop, next thing I knew, I was going to school Monday through Thursday, and then I was working for Glenn Mathis, my first boss, and a great boss and wonderful guy, was working for Naira in the press box Friday through Sunday, and I mean, geez, that was a long time ago. 25 years later, here we are. I'm on Steve Big Show.
You eternally look like you just graduated college. So you've got that look perpetually.
Healthy lifestyle.
You've looked 25 for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty funny. But I didn't know about the lacrosse.
Yeah, lacrosse junkie.
I love
lacrosse.
It's a great game.
Yeah,
Long Island
boy. Well, you know what do you want?
Well, and there's certain pockets, you know, around the country that, you know, where it's big. That's never come up.
So yeah.
I'm glad that something new that we learned about you.
Yep, for sure.
Jason, delight to have you always.
Yeah, same here, Steve.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, really great seeing you. Keep up the great work, and I'll see you around, man.
I'm going to be... You know, the train is just pulling out of the station.
A lot of two-year-olds. I'm going to, I think, bounce up to Ocala to check in on the West Point babies just to bring my video camera up and to share with the partners and the team. A lot of nice two-year-olds to look forward to this year.
OBS March?
Oh, we'll be there, yeah.
I'll see you there. Then.
Yeah,
I'll
without a doubt.
At the latest, I'll see you there.
3 days this year.
Yes.
Which I have mixed feelings on, if I'm being candid.
Well,
you know?
Gulfstream sale. In fact, we're going to talk to Boyd Browning, of course, tomorrow and Wednesday, the two-day, the end of the two-year-old, or not the two-year-old, but the racing age, though, and winter mix sales ends tomorrow, and then it's two-year-old in training sale season. So we're moving right along.
Nature of the game, my friend, right? You win the Derby, you're looking ahead to the Preakness, and we get up every day. And, I mean, that's the beauty of this whole thing. I mean, we all hope we're one decision away from jumping in or making a decision and getting involved with the horse that changes your life. I mean, it's the reality
like
of it. Yeah, for sure.
Exactly.
So,
thank
good times
you,
ahead. Thank you, Steve.
You
and hope everybody has a great week and a great Monday.
Jason Blewett. And that's what's so much fun about being at the racetrack and just, you know, opening the mic. Just exactly. Wandering in. And just hearing, Rich. Well, we'll see. Mig just checked in.
Oh, good.
I will. Looks like 10:30 for Mig. So I've got to move a couple of things around, but that's no problem. We're going to reach out immediately here and catch up with Rusty Arnold and talk about that filly because she was, she certainly made sense, right? I mean, there was no question that we were going to take her seriously going into going into the good morning. Here we go. Let's get Rusty Arnold in here. And I've already told them the funny part of Saturday and the forward Gal victory, which was that you can't win here.
Well, I was just kidding because I hadn't won a race this year down here, and I was just kidding with Mike when you walked in. So that was broke our maiden for the year. It had a couple of close ones, but that was our first win.
Well, this is that's a good way to you know, put the spurs to the meet.
Yeah, good one to start.
Exactly right. And now, you know, there's plenty of horses at this time of year, Rusty, that, you know, that come into spots, quote unquote, undefeated. You know, having won a race or two or even three. This was with authority, and it's got to really excite you and everybody at Ashbrook and Upland Flats.
Yeah, you're always concerned when you come to your 3-year-old year with a 2-year-old. As we know, some improve, some stay the same, and some aren't as good. Some are as good as two as they're ever going to be, and you look for that progression, and you're pretty happy, you're pretty excited, but you still want to see that. And it was nice that she came on at 3. You know, there's a lot of new fillies coming along. Todd has run 2 or 3 in the last month. Chad's run 2 or 3, some other people. And, you know, the water will get deeper, but she took her first step, so we're very happy.
We have not talked about her, and so let's get a little bit of a backstory. And, you know, I should include another individual that should be excited about this. That would be Heedley Bell.
Yeah, Heedley and Price were both there, and good friends, and they, you know, because of the stallion, they were there and maybe were just as excited as Ashbrook and myself. They're very happy. They've got a very talented young stallion, and which would excite anybody. So yeah, a very good day for several different people.
Yeah, and talking about Oscar Performance, and we'll catch up. We're going to catch up with Heedley, and talk about what this means. But bring us back to the beginning here. Was a Saratoga yearling, 180,000, bred by Lynn Schiff, and you know, talk about the early stages here and the identification of her and who developed her.
Well, the early stages would be Bo Bromagen, which is Ashbrook Farm, sure. He and his mother and his sister, and he picked her out. He did take me to see her, but Bo picks them out himself. He'll ask for a second opinion. She was very lovely. You can probably tell. I think she was the highest price Oscar Performance sold last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Makes sense.
And he bought her there. She went to April Mayberry's. And she breaks all of Bo's horses, and they liked her. They were taking her to the sale. Bo sells some every year, and, you know, he has to run his budget. And she got there, and I think she got a little bit of an ankle filled on her. She didn't breeze great. They went ahead and ran her through the sale. She did not sell. It did not come close. He bought her back and then gave her the time off and then sent her to me. I'm going to think it was in May or June when I got her. And the funny part of my end of the story, Steve, would be I would have never run this filly on the dirt, probably. You know, Oscar Performance, all grass, never stepped foot on the dirt. She was training well. I can't say she was training sensational. Then they canceled the turf racing in Churchill Downs. And Bo and I sit down and talked and decided what to do. And he said, I said, let's run her. I said, maybe if worst thing happens, she gets a race at Churchill Downs. And then we're ready for the turf when we get to Gulfstream a month later. And she called Slop and just, you know, ran a tremendous race. She just really performed well. She won by 10 fairly easy. And then we're thinking, well, maybe it's a Slop because a lot of turf horses run a Slop.
Yeah.
We chose to get really aggressive and run her back in the stake at the end of the meet. And she performed well again. And she's probably ruined her chances for being on the turf for a while. So she'll have to disappoint on the dirt before she ever sees the turf.
Well, and it's hard to believe she's going to disappoint at any time soon. From a fig standpoint, certainly notable. She just keeps kind of ratcheting up the scale. 68 buyer in the debut. then in the Fern Creek win, a 78, and now jumps up to an 87. So she's making herself, you know, very apparent as a serious member of the 3-year-old filly crop. And I would imagine, Rusty, there's no reason that she doesn't take the two turns when that opportunity comes next.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised if she doesn't, Steve. Now, her next race, if everything goes well, will be the Devon at Dale. That's still a one-turn race. Right. It's a great progression here at Gulfstream for you to do that. It's a mile, but still only one turn. And that lets you get one more before you do the two turns. So we're happy with that. If everything goes good, that's what we'll do. But, you know, Street Sense is on the bottom. There's just plenty of distance in that. I would be really surprised if she doesn't take to a little bit more distance.
Well, and, you mentioned Street Sense. And as it happens, as I was leaving Saturday, I saw Carl Nafsker. And the damn Wild Silk was unraced. But she was a sister. She is a sister to Joking, the Vosburgh winner.
Correct. Which, you know, a lot of speed in that family. And I think she was a fairly expensive horse. I don't know her. I know that Millridge had, with the mare was at Millridge, even though the breeder was not Millridge. We bought her from Millridge, so they raised that filly, and they've sent us some pictures of her as a foal, and it's an all Millridge deal.
How about that? Going to absolutely have to discuss this with
Healy. Yeah, he'll give you a lot more detail than I can.
And she, you know, she herself was out of that nice spun silk. The AP Indy. So this is a fascinating pedigree, and it feels, you know, it really feels like she's a horse that
nothing suggests she won't go on in any of that we're talking about.
Well, and you know, one of the things that's probably most encouraging is that she doesn't need the lead. It certainly, based on the way she, you know, the way she was handled by Louis on Saturday. You know, then when she took off, she just drew away.
Yeah, we had talked, and very fortunately, he had driven up to Palm Beach Downs and breezed her twice and had a very good feel for her, seen her races, and we had talked. And I said, she's naturally fast, but she's not ranked. And he said, I know, she's never been ranked when I got on her. And then she broke, you know, took a stumble, and when she picked her head up, she was heading in for the lead. But then he let him go on, and I was really happy about that, because if you're going to stretch out, you need that. And she just waited, let 2 to 3 horses move by her. She wasn't way back, and, you know, went on cue with him. And I think he feels like going a little farther will actually be better for her.
Well, and I'm just making another connection here. This is clearly a filly that's got all kinds of intertwined things working. Louis Saez, of course, Kieran McLaughlin handling, and as it happens, that spun silk second dam was, of course, trained by Kieran. So maybe Kieran was looking around the corner. Did he come calling to get Louie on this filly?
No, I searched him out on this one. I would be a good story if he did because of that. But when I got here, and Kieran and I go way back from Lexington, and sure. I told him, I said, I think I have a nice filly here. The Brian had ridden her perfect, but Brian went to Fairgrounds, and I said, come over and get on her, and I think you'll like her, and this is where I'm going to run her. And he came up and got on her, and about 10 minutes after the work, he called me back. But you have to worry, because Louis rides and Karen rides so many good horses for Todd that you couldn't get him, and after he worked her, said, we're going to ride her. So I was really happy and that it worked the way it did.
How about that? Well, that says a lot. And red carpet ready, 3 for 3. And, of course, you know, we when it comes to this time of year, whenever there's a 3-year-old, you know, more typically on the male side, we carry on about, broke the maiden at Churchill, likes Churchill. Well, you got that going for you too. By the time you break camp here in April,
absolutely. She's obviously can run a Churchill down, so she loves that, and you know, proved that she doesn't have to have that course too. But the other day,
Well, you know, I was going to say, you know, let's look ahead from the Devona Dale and so forth, but let's just take it a step at a time. I, knowing you and these connections, I would think the Ashland would be the intermediate target.
Yeah, if things went well, it would be they'd have to put a roadblock in front of me before. That's we've been very fortunate and won it a couple of times. Actually, one of those was the Bromagets. Yep. And that's got beat a couple of them close ones, too. Had a couple of seconds and won a couple of times. So that's home. It's home for the Bromagen family. And if everything went well, and we're a long way of talking way too far ahead, but I'm sure that would be our target.
Well, meantime, a great way to kickstart and move along the winter season down here. You're also running some at Tampa, and Rusty, let's do a little bit of the barn, the proverbial barn tour, especially because you got a bunch of maidens that are already scheduled for this week, including at Turfway on Wednesday, Indy again
is getting to get stretched out, which we think that's what she's wanted. She hasn't run quite as well as we've wanted in the sprints, and now we're going to go two turns, and hopefully that will move her up.
Well, Farron Peterson aboard, too.
I give Farron works a lot of horses for me. Yeah. She does a lot of favors, and she's worked this one a few times, and it would, you know, she's going to ride her back. She rode her sprinting, and actually, one of the people said, please let me run her back long, ride her back when she goes long, so she's going to stay on her.
Nice. And of course, she can also help with some vet work.
Yeah, there you go. I hope she doesn't need any, but that's a thought.
Farron Peterson, a great story. How about the second time starter for Bill Pape, Peak, on Thursday?
Peak, we're expecting to run a lot better. He wasn't that bad of a race. He was a little green. He learned a lot, has come back and worked good at Keeneland, and we're expecting a much better effort.
And yeah, you and I have talked a little bit. And of course, you know, for those of us that are steeplechase fans, the long association that Bill Pape has had on the jump side, it seems like he's running a lot more on the flat.
Yeah, I don't know them well. We had a really nice horse for him the last couple of years. It quite didn't get to the top, but he was talented. Mud Pie. He loved Kentucky Downs, which is a great place to love because of the money. He won two times there, and he got retired this year, and this is his brother.
Oh, very nice. Nice. I'm glad this came up. How about AP Lady? This is a third-time starter, a three-year-old for Calumet, and a street boss out of the AP Indy Mare AP test.
Yeah, if you watch her last race, we were just about to walk to the winner's circle at the 16th pole. She had wrestled a commanding lead, and horse of Rudolph's just ran her down. I don't think we quit running because we were still 3-4 lengths in front of the third horse. He ran a really nice filly that ran us down that day, and she came on to Florida. She's done really, really well, and she runs on Sunday. And kind of, if she doesn't get her maiden broke, she's another one that might move to the grass, Steve. She's got a lot of grass pedigree in her, but she's training great for Sunday's race.
Well, and that AP test, that name kind of jumped off the page at me. That was Pat Kelly. And a Fox Ridge, that's a Fox Ridge farm family.
Okay, I did not know that. Yeah. I didn't research it.
Absolutely. Right. And in fact, now I'm going back, you go back another dam, the Bink. You remember the Seeking the Gold, that nice Seeking the Gold filly?
I do. I remember her.
How about that? Pat's a regular listener, and so Pat will, he'll fill us in, undoubtedly.
Rusty, are you
literally in a menagerie of a bird cage?
I'm standing outside of my barn at Palm Beach Downs, and believe it or not, there is a pack of wild parakeets that fly in here every morning, probably 50 to 60 of them, and they have flown in and landed in this tree outside my barn right now. So they're here. And I'm afraid to walk away, Steve, because I lose service.
Yeah.
Where I'm at, I'll lose signal sometimes here.
We haven't been out to Palm Beach Downs in a few winters. How's the alligator?
The alligators are here. There's a couple of them. One extremely big one that's in the middle. He doesn't bother us, but he's bigger than the boat that's out there, so I know he's pretty long.
And sometimes, you know, some mornings he'd come out on the racetrack and they
run the harrows early to make sure he's not been out there one or two days a week. He's probably been out there, but they get him off. But it's nice here. There's only three of us here. Todd, George Weaver, and myself, and we enjoy it.
No, it's a great – well, it's a facility that actually has come in handy. The situation, and I'm hoping to get a conversation in here with Billy Badgett about what's going on at Palm Meadows with basically an impromptu renovation of the racetrack.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it, but I heard it's been maybe closed a week now. So I can't confirm that. You could, but it's kind of a tough time of the year to do that. So there must have been a reason.
Well, exactly. And in fact, I know that Danny Gargan brought one over there on Saturday to work. In advance of next week. So, yeah, it's one of those things. Everybody, you got to be on your toes around these parts or anywhere else. Actually, it's general alarms all the time. Rusty, how about a couple of the barn favorites as we get the year going?
Well, we've sent a lot of our old horses home. I mean, Totally Boss has been retired. Navratilova has been retired. We've got a promising horse still that he did not run great in a Mucho Macho Man. While I say that, he only got beat a couple of lengths, Laver. We still think he could be a nice horse. We've got him coming on, and most of our old horses are gone, and we've got to have the babies come on and fill those spots.
Well, then, having this horse in the first stall is certainly nice timing.
Yeah, that's a good spot. We've got a really, really nice distorted humor filly for Jim and Susan Hill, named Ruthless Rua, that broke her maiden, and then we sent her to the farm for the winter. She'll be coming back in pretty soon, and she's very good, I think.
Where are you with Cellist?
Cellist got beat in a stake at Turfway, and we sent him home for some rest. I think he'd been going for a couple of years without going home. We sent him to Calumet. I'll pick him up when I go back. He'll be a summer horse.
There you go. So, everybody on different kinds of schedules. What about Gear Jockey? Yeah.
Gear Jockey was turned out. Gene Riccio has him at Ocala. He just, at the end of the year, wasn't the same horse. I thought he was, and he just went the wrong way. I don't know why. He was sound. So we gave him the winter off, and Gene actually started training him on the 1st, and he'll probably send him to me right around March 1st. That's the plan.
Very nice. What about Ruthless Rua?
Well, that's the distorted humor filly I was referring to. She went to the farm for the winter. They trained her on the farm and get her ready for the spring. And I think she is very talented. Very talented. Yes.
That's the Hills one. Okay. Got it.
Yes.
Out of a mineshaft mare.
Correct.
And here's another favorite that has been productive. Iligami
is right here. She was going to run in a stake early when I got down here. I'm no arguing with them. The state vet didn't think she jogged well behind. I probably agreed to disagree, but he didn't like it. So we had to take her to Palm Meadows and work her, which we did. And the vets there thought she was perfect when she worked. She worked a bullet. And now I'm trying to find a spot for her, and it might be the Royal Delta.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, Rusty, on that topic, it's interesting that comes up. We're obviously in an era and where everybody has got to be on their toes and everybody is cognizant of, you know, the scrutiny that the game is under. But at the same time, don't we have to trust judgment of people like you when it comes to that kind of a decision.
You know, it's tough, and I sure don't blame them. They have a very, very hard job to do. They have to protect the image of the game, the racetrack, us, everybody. And I'm not saying one's right or one's wrong. It's a little different now, Steve, and I'm 40 years, 50 years almost of doing this. And you kind of know your horses, and some horses need warmed up. Some are perfect when they walk off the van. Others need warmed up, and you give them the benefit of the doubt. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. They need to walk off the van and be 100%. And I understand their side. They have a job to do, but it's tough when they look at the horse for 30 seconds and have to decide. It's not they're against us because they're on our side. You know, there wasn't a problem with it. It's tough. We look at them every day, 24/7, and they look at them for 30 seconds to a minute, and they've got to make a decision. And I might not agree with them all the time, but I know that they're doing what they think's right, you know. And when I took the horse over, we explained the horse to them later, and I don't think there'll be a problem again. But they're put in a tough position, and again, like you said, the game has changed, and they have a job to do, and they have to do it. And I think I would rather err on the side of caution than make a mistake. So I had no issue with it, but that's why she missed the winner.
Yeah, well, and that it's just a topic that that everybody, you know, everybody has to understand.
It's the world we live in.
Yeah.
It's changed.
Yeah.
it's changed, and that's it. You know, I mean, we need in Kentucky, we need permission from a vet to watch them work. Well, that's tough on a guy as old as me. You have to have a youngster out of vet school tell you whether you can work your horse, and you've looked at him for, you know, you've been looking at horses for over 40 years. But a second set of eyes on a horse never hurts you either. You got to look at it that way. Hey, I got two guys looking at him instead of one, and maybe he'll pick up something that I missed. So there's some positive in it also.
Rusty, let me ask you about one more before we go. Baby Got Backspin.
Baby Got Backspin is at Wavertree Farm. I didn't like her last race. She wasn't as sharp as she was before. Now, we had run a maiden in a stake, and she was third, and she came back to Churchill, ran kind of a dull race. I just thought maybe she needs a break. We ran her pretty hard, so she's Karen Dunn's got her. She'll pick back up into my stable also March 1st. So got four or five to pick back up in early March and get them going. As is Cadillac Candy is kind of maybe a little bit behind her, but he'll come back, and that's another horse that we really like.
There we go. Well, you know, for somebody that's been doing this for 40 years, I don't know if you realize that last year was the third best year in earnings you ever had.
No, not really. But you know, you're relying on what you have, and whatever you earn is
in fact. Three of the last 4 years are the best years of your career.
Hey, maybe I'm getting old. Maybe I'm getting better with age. I'm like a good wine, maybe, Steve.
Well, you and Claude Ray.
Yeah. I sent him I don't know if you talked to him in the last 2 days, but I sent him a text after we won the stakes. I said, hey, they can't get rid of us yet. We're still here.
he was talking last week about training to 100.
Yeah. I said, we're still here.
And making plenty of noise. Rusty, thanks so much. Congratulations again to you and everybody involved, the Bromigans and the Upland Flats side of things.
Yeah, that's new to me. Actually, just the first time I've met him was this year. He's a partner of Bo's. I know he lives in Nashville or around Nashville, and got to spend a little bit of time with him this weekend, young man. And he told me after the race, he said, you know, that's the first year one I ever bought. And I said, well, it's going downhill from here.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Him and Fred Hooper.
Yeah, there you go.
And Bob Edwards, another guy. They're just some are walking around lucky, Rusty. What can you say?
I'd rather be lucky than good.
Shit doesn't hurt. Luck is the residue of design. How many more maxims can we shove in here, Rusty? It was great to see you guys on Saturday. Well done.
All right, Steve. Anytime, and thank you for having me.
My pleasure, Rusty Arnold, everybody, and a flock of wild parakeets. I knew all about the alligator, and I didn't realize that. Sounds like there's more than one now. But when Chuck was there, we used to go over to Palm Beach Downs, you go to Palm Beach Downs, then you go to Ben's. Yeah. Or to Flakowitz, but Ben's. I love Ben's. Love Flakowitz. Got a connection to Flakowitz, actually, I've never discussed. That my cousin Debbie, who I better call while I'm down here, or maybe I'll get her in April or end of March. But when Chuck was there, we'd go out and watch the horses work. And it was, at that time, it was, hey. Then it was, who else was there? I mean, Todd's been there forever. At Palm Beach Downs. And in fact, Herb, come sit down for a second. There's a question you can answer, because I don't know if we're going to be able to see Billy Badgett this morning or not. Mm-hmm. But certainly you'll have an answer for this. Let's see. It was Chuck and George Weaver and Todd. And there was somebody. Who else was there? I think Reed Baker was at Palm Beach Downs. I think. Here, grab me. You want to grab the mic or here? Right? Wasn't? Yeah.
Yeah. Where?
Wasn't Reed there?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
That's interesting. Rusty said just the three of them, and there was a racket in the background, which was
I heard.
You listened to the show.
Yeah, the turkeys,
the parakeets, and
parakeets.
When I would stay in. When I would stay with John with Piranha, and come up the causeway, the section to through Dania, I would see wild parakeets. There was a building, and there was a tube that came out of a building, like a exhaust tube, and I would always see parakeets, good sized parakeets, that were around there, and I'd see them go in there. It was at the stoplight. By the chocolate shop there, and actually a tragic that little ice cream parlor there in Dania is gone now. It looks like it's a Mexican restaurant. You'd go there and you'd be in line. You'd be in line with 28 Quebecois.
Yeah. You're not talking about Jackson's.
No, Jackson's an institution. No, this was right. I remember that place.
It's
like a little Dairy Queen.
I remember that
kind
place.
And it was terrific.
I've never stopped there, but I remember.
Oh,
that
it was
place.
Great. But there was a ton of tabernac, tabernouche, taberwit, sacrement. Right. A lot of that going on in line, and a lot of cigarette smoking. Yeah.
I thought he was standing by Terry Pompey's bun, because she has a menagerie back there.
Does she really?
Oh yeah. Parrots, parakeets, she raises monkeys also, there's no monkeys back there, but she's in barn, I think, 20, and it's a racket back there, too.
Terry's health, is she's all right?
I think so. Good. I haven't seen him in a while, but I think so.
Nice.
Yeah.
She had that terrible scare.
Yes.
It's actually a while ago now, but it's funny, the racetrack, it's a barnyard in a lot of cases.
It really is. We have a lot of chickens back here now also.
Well, chickens are a problem.
They are a problem.
The story at Philadelphia Park, you had a rider killed, because
right.
of a
No, they do. They're running on the track. So
That's not good.
No, I remember in New York, years ago in New York, we had a chicken problem, and they put a bounty on each chicken. Bring us a chicken, and they gave the guys $5 or $10, whatever
it's
it
like
was.
Like the Wild West. What are you talking about?
You cleaned up the chicken problem.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Chicken Sadie. Are you old enough to remember Chicken Sadie?
I don't know. I'm probably old enough, but I don't know if I remember.
They're Chicken Sadie and Black Liz, the fried chicken. That's
I mean, you can't do it now. It's not, politically correct, but I remember years ago at Belmont, we also had it called a years ago. We had a duck problem.
Well, big the geese, duck problem. The geese are.
And we had to hire. I remember the association hired someone. I think we spent like $5,000 to hire someone to round them up and get them out of there. You know.
Well, golf courses with the geese, they have the same issue. But that's so funny. Speaking of hiring somebody or dealing with some problems, what can you tell us? Because I don't know if Billy Badger can join us or not. What THA's obviously, you know, you're in contact with everybody at Palmetto's. The status of this.
I was told over the weekend it should be up and running today.
They should be back on it today. Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
They graded it and they called in a couple of experts. You know, and I was with Kenny Wilson on Saturday.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure they said it should be up and running today.
Very good, you know? Because I saw the pictures of they basically had taken the whole cushion off. And you know, that's always, if there's ever issues, John, anything I know on this topic, John Nehru taught me and about fissures and and having to, you know, on a regular basis, lift the cushion, repair the base, because the fissures start there, and then you get sinkholes on the cushion.
Okay. We have our groom
elite
class today.
Nice.
Today and tomorrow.
Excellent.
And then next Monday and Tuesday is evaluation. Reed will be here today.
I'm dying to see him. Can't wait to see him.
Next Monday and Tuesday, evaluation. And then next Wednesday, a week from Wednesday, is graduation.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah. So, okay. I brought you your
You brought me coffee. It's been a great resource because the fridge is empty, by the way.
It is?
Yeah. There's no.
Thanks for telling me.
There's no waters or drinks for the team. So you get on that. Herb Oster, everybody. Okay. Herbie, thank you. No, I just because I wanted to find out what was going on up at Palmetto's regarding because you know nobody could train most of last week. So that's good news. All right, we're getting up to the top of the hour. In fact, Case, let's take a break here. Hour one flew by with a fun visit with Rusty and with Jason Blewett, which ended up being impromptu and a lot of fun. So as we go to take the break, No, it's fine. Don't worry about it. Nah. Mike, it's fine. Herb asking me because they're coming through with the blowers. Nothing. In terms of that noise, nothing equals what we deal with at Belmont with the water coming down and the and the blower that goes along the front of the track. No. People all the time say, oh, we'll be quiet. You don't have to be quiet. The ambient noise is kind of fun, actually, in a lot of ways. Well, I got about 2 minutes, 2.5, to the top of the hour, or past the top of the hour. The weekend and the Holy Bull here, certainly Rocket Can ran well. The Holy Bull result was not the star of the day. The star of the day might have been Rusty with red carpet ready, to be honest, right? And that's one of the reasons we headed in his direction. Todd Fletcher, though. Fletcher, who we're hoping to talk to before the end of the morning or before the end of the day tomorrow. Usually Tuesdays are better for him than Mondays. For Todd, Tappet Trice. What a nice weekend for Mandy Pope, by the way, right? Tappet Trice wins that allowance, 92 Bayer, 10 points better than the Holy Bull figure. And it's interesting because I talked to Todd before. It must have been before the. I don't know if it must have been before the Kitten's Joy, I think. It was or maybe even some other. Maybe it was before this allowance, actually. And he said if that race hadn't gone, that mile allowance, that he would have entered Tappet Trice in the Holy Bull, and you know, not to say that sorry that they didn't per se, but let's be honest, they very well might have won the Holy Bull. Beat his stablemate by 8 lengths Shesterkin, who ran okay, but Tapa Trice was terrific. And this, of course, a Gainesway bred, and Gainesway still in with Mandy Pope. And then, that's why I said what a nice weekend Mandy Pope had, Chargent comes back yesterday in that eighth race allowance and was really good. 102 Buyer on his return. Really, really good. And attended a sharp pace. So, you know, had been away since the Dwyer romp. And a good way to come back. And so for everybody wringing their hands that there's no good older horses, here's a good older horse. Charge it. And you know what? That Vittorio of Bill Mott's out of control. Vittorio ran well. Was, you know, had made up some ground and chased Charge It home. That's a five-year-old Vittorio. So, nice group there. Charge It is back. So, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got Mig at the bottom of the hour, so we got some time, actually, here, second hour. We're at Gulfstream at the races, Sirius XM. Back after this.
At the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us.